KQSS Miami.
It's country and more.
And making his way to the studio is Mayor Al Gomeros from the City of Globe. And, you know, these meetings replay on KJAA on Sunday morning at 7 o'clock and 7:30, respectively. And they also are online. Al Gomeros has his own page, and there's a link right on the home site of KQSS.net. So, Mayor Gomeros, welcome.
Well, glad to be here. We got a nice little rain here this last hour, which we definitely need, I hope. We continue to get some for the next couple of days, you know.
Yes.
We are truly dry, which I'm glad we did get some. I got my June report.
Good.
I do have, we did do tentative and final budget, though, but on June 10th, Council received a presentation from our city manager and our staff on the proposed budget for fiscal year 25 and 26. And the total proposed budget is $57,562,961, and this includes a $15 million in anticipated grant funding that we're hoping to score in this next fiscal year.
Okay.
It also includes a restricted fund balance of $3 million.
Okay.
Our projected revenue growth from the city sales tax remains conservative, still at 2.5 annually, so we did hit that mark.
Okay.
And again, I just have to say that, you know, this city's budget continues to reflect the commitment of our council and our staff to building that strong economic foundation for the future. You know, we remain focused on certain things, upgrading of our aging infrastructure, enhancing of quality of life for our residents, and really expanding our housing stock to support sustainable growth.
Mm-hmm.
We really need to, we're working hard to try and make some more housing happen. And, you know, there's a lot of things in the queue, but until they happen, we really can't depend on them at this point.
Oh, speaking of that, I got a call just yesterday about that, asking me about the area out by the former drive-in, how that was going, and we haven't heard lately. Any updates?
You know, we haven't, we have nothing new to report on that, okay. Although I can say that it's still moving forward.
Okay.
It hasn't hit a stall point.
Good.
It's all in the hands of the developer and investors, and we're ready to move forward as soon as they present us with a design. We're ready to move forward to go ahead and do the permitting process. We do have infrastructure, it's zoned for it. Everything's in place already, so we're ready for them at this point as far as we can go. We're just waiting on them to move forward.
Terrific.
So I'll break down what I did in my report. I'll break down the budget a little bit. So I'm gonna talk first about general fund revenue, which is proposed in this budget. These are projections. So we project our sales tax revenue to be $11,143,359. We're getting revenue license and permits is at $703,980. State shared revenues, again, has to do with population, what we get from state, and that's $3,450,902. Franchise fees are $360,000. There's charges for service at $909,500. Fines and forfeitures bring in $203,774. And miscellaneous revenues, I don't have the breakdown for that, is $1,256,570. Contributions at $1,000. And we had a fund balance carry forward of $4,298,938 from last year. Which is so that's our revenue projections for the next fiscal year.
Okay. Now I'm looking at that and saying that doesn't add up to $57 million.
Well, it's still, we still have enterprise funds, and then we have the $15 million.
Yeah, the grants, I know. What are enterprise funds in this case?
Enterprise funds, and I'll break those down right now. That has to do, that's money in there that we can only use for specific categories.
Okay, earmarks.
Yep. So we have street funds. We have the HERF excise tax and bridge at $6,666,312. Okay. The water fund is $8,615,469.
Okay.
And the sewer fund is $4,374,647. So those are... part of there's a third of our operating budget, enterprise funds, and then we have the money for our anticipated grants.
Okay. Well, good.
And I'll break it down. I also broke it down by department. So in the category of council, that budget is $415,560. Community groups, which is a bed tax, we're budgeting $250,000.
Okay.
So each, we have five groups. They each get $50,000 a year for their nonprofit. Administration is $5,148,155. Fire department is $4,290,488. Mm-hmm. Police department is $6,524,691. Mm-hmm. The magistrate court, again, we restructured that. Now we took it over from the county.
Mm-hmm.
We hired our own prosecutor and things like that. So now that budget magistrate is $568,245.
Okay.
Public works budget is $2,555,250. The museum is $408,514. Economic development is $750,146. The community center pool, and this is the annual O&M, operation and maintenance. And again, this is a quality of life for our community.
It absolutely is.
And we have to budget $359,201.
I'm glad you brought up the pool. I got a call on that, too, that I couldn't answer. They said, is there a fee for using the pool? I said, well, there wasn't last year, but I don't know. So what does it cost to go to the pool?
It's $1 a day.
That's
it, yeah. And it's for I don't know what the age group is, but it's either $1 or $2. You can buy a monthly
pass
or annual pass too. If you go a lot, it'd probably save you a lot. They also started water aerobics on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesdays from 6 to 7:30
in the morning.
No, in the evening.
Okay, then. Yeah. All right, good.
In the evening, yes. So that's going on right now, too.
Oh,
so
good. 6 to 7:30, water aerobics.
You
all
bet.
Right.
And it's been good. They have a new gal there. She's a young gal. She's one of the lifeguards that took the course. Her and another lifeguard took it, and they, from what I hear and the people going, they've really enjoyed it.
That's wonderful.
She's done a good job.
Okay.
Community development is $508,224. And then our fleet maintenance is $239,511. So okay. Those are all the departments that broken down that I put in my report.
Okay.
I'll talk a little bit about the general fund, property tax, and levy. And our projections show an increase in property tax levy from $538,328 to $541,935.
Modest.
It's a small mm-hmm. increase, but this is only due because of new construction.
Yay.
So what we're doing with our primary property tax, even though the valuation of the individuals or the residents went up, we're decreasing it down per 100,000 valuation.
It's wonderful.
So we want to keep our tax levy at the same as last year, showing no increase in property taxes to our residents mm-hmm. for fiscal year 2026, as we promised. And again, even though their valuation went up, they would have paid more, but we'll be bringing the tax levy down so they'll pay the same as last year.
Good.
So the schedule for the adoption of the final budget, on June 18th, we did post it as required by law for two consecutive weeks. On July 8th, we had a public hearing on the final budget and the tax levy and adoption. And then on July 29th, we will be adopting the property tax levy and set the rate for the next fiscal year.
Sounds reasonable.
You bet. So it's interesting. So we get the same, or we get a little more because of new construction. But again, the residents don't pay more because we'll decrease their tax levy.
Which is a wonderful thing right about now prices on everything are going up, knowing that. And we have great property tax rates here comparatively.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, especially compared to, I have a friend, this is a true story, in a suburb, it's actually not a suburb, it's an independent suburb of Chicago. And in his suburb, He pays $65,000 a year in property taxes.
Oh,
now,
God.
Okay, it's a $2 million house, but that's not the point.
Wow.
I told him, I said, you got to understand, you do not own that house. You are renting it from the city for $65,000 a year.
Yeah.
And you hear these numbers, and, you know, you hear from people in New Jersey or New York about what they're paying. And then, you know, here you come to Globe, and maybe your tax is, what, $350 a year or whatever, depending on, of course, your property value. What a bargain.
Yep, you bet. And I know I have my kids live one. They live in Queen Creek and Gilbert. I know what they're paying for taxes. It
right.
is high. It
right,
is
and but still so much lower than other states.
You bet, than other states, you bet.
Well, good. All right. What else?
I put in a little bit to talk a little bit about our general fund contingency reserve policy. And I think I did this in the past, too. But we adopted a general fund contingency reserve policy. And this is in the amount of $3 million. And this is to ensure that our city remains financially stable. And again, by maintaining the appropriate reserves.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this really protects us from, you know, unanticipated funding needs. Significant economic downturns could be consequences of outside agency actions. Mm-hmm. Could be emergencies such as natural disasters, you know, if we've seen in the past. Mm-hmm. So we adopted the policy now that we will maintain a $3 million balance for those types of needs. But we also put in there, it's flexible. So if we see something that may have some unforeseen opportunity to our city, we have the option through council to go ahead and pull out of that if we need to.
That's excellent.
You bet. So so it didn't tie it totally. It just makes sure that we have it in place.
It's peace of mind.
You bet. We all got to do that, even with our own savings.
Isn't
you know?
That the truth? And, you know, that's something we talk about, the rising prices, that right now so many people are literally living on their last dollar.
Yep.
You know, and then you go through the drive through. I said the other day, I think I'll go to Sonic and get an estimate on a hot dog. You know,
yeah.
It really is like that.
Yeah, it's really tough for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And, you know, prices are so high. And if you have a large family, I don't know how you do it. And even difficult to buy a house now, even, you know, back in the days, we could buy a house right out of high school, you know, get a job and buy a house. Now I don't think you can do that at this point.
That is such a pressing problem, because our entire economy is based upon, you know, buy the house, live there long enough to pay it off, and then when you're ready to retire, usually your biggest equity is that house sale. But now, virtually no one, unless you already own an existing house, no one can get into the housing market.
You bet.
And I don't understand, and that's much bigger than Globe, how the economy remains stable with that being the yardstick.
Yeah, you bet. Yeah, that's why you see so many, you know, families, grandparents, and kids moving in with their parents and grandparents, because they just can't afford to be on their own, you know,
trying to make ends meet. Right, and you're seeing neighborhoods that were new home developments that suddenly turn into rental properties.
Yes.
A lot more renters, but again, what is that going to be 30 years from now when you want to retire or what have you? You know, there are questions that clearly above your and my pay grade, but something's got to give. Now, the one thing I have noticed, and I don't know if it's true in Globe Miami, you would know more than I do, but nationwide, it's not spoken about much, but there's somewhat of a stall on sales. People are hanging onto their houses longer because they're not getting the offers.
Mm-hmm.
It's not moving the way it was. And
exactly.
I don't know what that portends.
Well, I thought it was more turning towards a seller's market now, you know, so hopefully people are able to sell them. There's a lot of stock now, though.
Well,
unfortunately, is what they're saying. There's more stock now than there has been in the past.
Right. But I would hope that would be a buyer's market.
You bet. You bet. You would think so.
Yeah, I hope.
Yep.
So what else we got?
Okay, I got to talk a little bit at Connie's Bridge. It is now Reese Canyon Bridge. Councilman Pastor, he provided a background, which was an amazing, a packet to council and staff, and it detailed really the history, you know, of this bridge.
Uh-huh.
Something I really didn't know. It was interesting to read about it. But Councilman Pastor spoke with numerous longtime residents of the neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
You know, and after we reviewed all the material, we were given a couple of weeks to look at it and engaging in discussion. We unanimously voted to name the new bridge. It's called Reese Canyon Bridge.
I like it. So Connie's forever dead. Reese Canyon Bridge rises from the ashes and is now the official name. So we will hereby refer to it as Reese Canyon Bridge.
All
right. I'm proud to do that.
And the people, the neighbors around there are really happy about that change, you know, to make it, you know, that
well,
the new name.
There's something about a bridge being named after a convenience store that just doesn't really work. You know, yeah. Coldest beer in town is not what you think about infrastructure.
There you go.
So yeah, Reese Canyon Bridge is great.
You bet. Along with that Reese Canyon Bridge, also, we in the beginning when it was opened and the two-way stop, we really haven't heard any complaints anymore about the traffic now. I think people have got used to the flow. The only concern we had in discussion was people coming down Hill Street.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're flying. It's 25 miles an hour there, and they're going 40, 50 miles an hour. So that's, we just installed a traffic speed sign.
Mm-hmm.
It's digital, solar, and it tells you your sign. And we're seeing now that people, they're realizing they're going 40 miles an hour in a 25-mile-an-hour zone, so
mm-hmm.
it's slowing them down. I think that was the only downfall that we had is those people coming around pretty fast that corner when you're trying to make a left turn or go straight. But really, we haven't had no more complaints that I have heard anymore.
No, I haven't either. But if you did, I figured that the answer would be a four-way stop if it came to it. It's not brain surgery.
You bet. And the last thing I had, again, Coffee with the Mayor, is this Wednesday, July 16th, 1 p.m. It's at Copper City's Coffee. Again, great opportunity to come in and ask questions. We've had some pretty good turnouts. So I'm going to continue on, and I really appreciate Copper City's Coffee for allowing us to do it there. You know, they allow us to rearrange one section there, and depending how many people show up. So I invite people if they want to hear if they want to hear the right information, come and ask questions. And if I can't get them to you, I will definitely follow up with it and get back to you. I also want to thank Vice Mayor Mike Stapleton. He's attended all of them and been there as also an advocate and answering questions and different things. So invite people again this Wednesday, July 16th, 1 p.m., Copper City's Coffee.
Yes, right on Highway 60. It's convenient.
You bet.
Right across from DeMarco's and the former Mark's Transmission and all that.
Yep.
That's a nice little shopette. You know, for a while it was really run down, as you know. And whoever owns it has taken some pride in that. And there's still some vacancies and stuff, but it's looking better.
It is, yeah. And you know, when you do something like that in any... When you talk about restaurants or things like that, you're talking a big investment. I mean, I know they put a commercial hood system in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a big investment. So, you know, and it takes years or a decade to try and recover that money back. So,
well, right. And the location has a history of not doing that well with restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love that barbecue place, but it was coming on fairly quickly.
Yes.
So, you know, you're also turning the tide on that, saying, hey, we're here to stay.
You bet.
We hope they are.
Yep, you bet. And then it takes, again, marketing your city, marketing your community, and getting people here, because we really rely on them. And really interesting, because I asked the question, do we see a decline in revenue because of the ADOT project and the bridge project and
mm-hmm.
everything? We really haven't seen anything at this point that's significant. But, you know, like we keep on top of ADOT, you know, this really affects our economy. It affects our businesses here. So, you know, it it's frustrating sometimes when you have one way. You know, when they're stopping the traffic on top of the blasting on
mm-hmm.
3 days a week, it makes it really a little frustrating. So, you know, we voiced our opinion on it. You know, try and minimize the stoppage and get people moving when it is open.
Yeah, that's a real thing, too, for quality of life here, because there really is no workaround. When they say you can go through Winkleman, well,
mm-hmm.
you can go to hell, too, you know,
yeah.
if you don't want to, but or up through Payson or what have you. So there are a lot of people who make that commute, if not daily, certainly
exactly.
a few times a week, and not because they just want to sightsee. This is integral to their life, and suddenly they can't get through there, and that... you know, the implications of that are pretty severe, I think. So I agree with you. And of course, over the years, we've also looked at it with the first bridge and now this bridge. We're replacing two-lane bridges with two-lane bridges,
mm-hmm.
which tells you what the state thinks of the area on a 50-year plan.
Yeah.
And, you know, I keep hoping, well, maybe if they need more, they'll build another bridge next to it. But in general, at this point, they're basically saying to us, oh, you don't need it.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's somewhat demoralizing, because they went four lanes to Superior and then Superior to here. Well, we'll give you a dirt path. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, and it kind of goes along with the concept of what you see in the valley too. You know, they build these freeways, and there are three lanes, and then all of a sudden now we got to expand to four, now we got to expand to five lanes. I mean, why didn't we think of that for future growth, you know, as
well,
much?
Right, and the other thing is we can narrow the lanes just a little. You know, after a while, some of those freeways become death traps for most of us. So, yeah, it's, you know, I don't think we'll solve solve planning. You know, after our last meeting, mm-hmm. I had some calls regarding the things we talked about with code and zoning and all mm-hmm. those kind of things. And I said, call Mayor Gomeros.
Yep.
Well, that's 888-876-5593, because I am not your one-stop shopping place for solving your code problems, but you will be. So you know, because I think what I'm hearing, just to parse it down from mm-hmm. different people, is they don't feel that things are being meted out equally. And I know what you said, that every property is individual, but that said, when the outlying or the well-known information is identical, yeah, people are going to be upset on that, saying, mm-hmm. hey, he's getting a pass, I'm being restricted. So I understand that. So by all means, call.
Yeah, call. And I will sit down and explain whatever I can. If I can't, you know, there's always two sides to a story.
Right.
And people, for some reason, will listen or will just go with one side of the story. And, you know, we have zoning laws, we have code, we have... that we need to follow, and we're trying to be, we're changing what we were a decade ago. We weren't consistent. There was a good old boy system.
Right.
That isn't, we got to be consistent. We got to be fair with everybody, and that includes with residents, with businesses. We care about it, and we want to make sure that we can make it happen, but they need to understand that we're elevating our city to another level, to a professional level, where we have codes, we need to follow.
But that said, and I agree with all of that, but that said, when you're saying they need to understand, well, they also need to know that you understand when they present, hey, this is what you're doing to me, and these are my facts.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is what's happening somewhere else, and these are their facts. Why isn't it the same?
Mm-hmm.
And I think more than anything, they need to know they can come to you and actually be heard, rather than, you know, just hearing, well, we're upgrading the city, so you're going to have to do this.
And these individuals that are doing, that have these, that go through these processes, they are meeting with our development service team, and they are given the explanation of zoning and all the code that goes, so they do have it, and
but
then they get it in writing.
Yeah, but it doesn't always, that's what I'm saying. This is exactly what I'm saying, Al. It doesn't always match reality, and
mm-hmm.
that's the kind of call, you know, I understand exactly what you're saying, and what they're saying is, okay, you wrote this. Now, it's not accurate, but you wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where people are up in arms saying, I need to be able to have this looked at. You know, so I understand precisely what you're saying, but it's not matching their reality.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, they can call me. We'll sit down. We'll discuss things, and we'll work through things, you know, and hopefully, so they can get a better understanding of the process.
And so also, so the city will get a better understanding. I'd like people to come away, if they're listening, to know that they'll be heard too.
Yep.
It's not that they're just going to be dictated to or ordered or told this is the way it is and here's why.
Yep.
You will be heard.
You
and
bet.
And they haven't been, or at least that's what they're expressing. I don't know. I'm not there. But I think that it's only fair, and it's great that you've made the offer that they can sit down with you.
They can sit down and we'll talk.
We'll
go through it.
Here's what I got, and here's why. They can say, here's why it's not fair. And
mm-hmm.
when they do, you can say, you know, maybe they're right in a few instances, but maybe they're not, and we need to
exactly
look at why.
And we always have the option. If there is something that, you know, is in there as a council, we have the option that we can look at changing or modifying a code, modifying an ordinance, so we can, you know, that fits our city maybe a little
right.
better, you know, in the
right.
process.
Or if two situations are identical and receiving different outcomes,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can work on that.
You bet.
And I think that's what people need, because you mentioned about social media and all that.
Yeah.
And that's why people take to it. They take to it because they feel they're not being heard, that they're being treated unfairly.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting answers. The answers don't match reality. And so I think you certainly tried last month to say, hey, I'm here to listen. But I think the important message is really, he will be there to listen
yep.
and to hear you out,
you
rather than just say, well, here's why it is the way it is. No, it's more than here's why it is. Let's hear why you think it isn't.
And we don't see them at council meetings. I mean, we have it's only our staff there. My phone number is out there, and I have not I don't receive calls.
No, you just read about it.
Yeah, just read about it.
So I was hoping people would call, but nobody did. So what I'm hoping now is if you go to KQSS.net, and Al Gamaris' link is right on the homepage. The phone number is there.
Yep.
Call him. Oh, somebody's calling.
No.
Oh, maybe it's probably a wrong number. No, we'll find out.
All right.
But absolutely, it's important that people be heard, and I know you want that too.
You bet. No, we represent the people.
Yeah.
You know, we represent both. Really, we have to balance it out, but we represent the city.
Well, of course, and you know, when it gets down to it, the city is nothing more than the people.
Yep.
And that's what we talked about before with pride of ownership and all that. And you can't legislate that.
Yep.
But that's what it comes down to. And my God, we're going to get two calls.
Wow.
All right. All I had to do was mention. No, one hung up. Well, we're trying. I don't know. Let's see what it says. It's B. Is that the name? B in Globe. All right. So we'll try it. B and Globe, welcome to KQSS.
Yes. Am I on the public forum?
You absolutely are. You are live on the radio. It's just you and me, B, and Mayor Gamaros.
Okay. Well, you know, I have a few concerns for Tim Humphrey and Al Gamaros, and, you know, it's about the code enforcer, and I just, you know, she's I don't know how to say this, because she's just created a lot of problems for a lot of people. And, you know, it's also been on social media that she's using the public vehicle for her own to go and show houses because she's a realtor. You know, she's abusing her power, and I don't understand how nobody has done anything about this.
Let me ask you, Mayor Gamaris, is the code enforcement officer a licensed real estate agent?
Yes,
I believe
she is.
Yes, I believe she is.
Is that a conflict of interest?
I do not know.
Yes,
that'd be an attorney. That'd be a
attorney. Actually, it's also a marketing question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and more than an attorney, because mm-hmm. There are things that you can legally do that you don't want to do, obviously.
Yeah.
But if that's the case, that to me, we were talking about people who feel that they've been wronged.
Mm-hmm.
It would seem de facto problems with regard to conflict of interest.
Yeah, and
yes, you know,
go ahead.
And she's getting kickbacks. She's going and she's taking people's homes, and she's getting a kickback.
Well, I don't know.
And I want to know why nobody is realizing this, and I want to know why nobody is doing anything about this problem.
Well,
I am very upset being part of the community and seeing people have to, you know, when they're on their last dime, that she's taking their property. Why?
Okay, well,
I don't get you.
And I hear you, and I'd like to sit down with you, but I think there's a pretty stern accusations that you're making on live radio. I'd be careful with accusations unless you have really facts to back it. You know, I think she does a good job with what she has. That's a tough job. People don't like code enforcement because it makes people clean up their property. It makes businesses clean up their property. That's what it's about. That's what code enforcement is put in for, because we need to clean up our city.
Yeah, no, I understand that too. And I agree with Mayor Gamaris that we don't want to level an accusation, something as strong as a kickback. But but it doesn't matter whether you think it's true or not. What is fact is that she's a licensed real estate agent, mm-hmm. and she's the code enforcement director. And right there, that's something that maybe the council and the staff needs to take a look at. You see, the accusations and the allegations, that becomes a very sticky wicket.
Mm-hmm.
So I would stay with what you know. And what you know
And it's not an accusation. It's not an accusation when she has her family members taking pictures of people's property, and then she goes after them. This is true fact. She was also seen in the court enforcement vehicle in Claypool showing a house on the city's time, getting paid from the city, and then still going and doing her realtor. Why?
What I would do if you have information or you have whatever you have, there is a process as a resident. If you're a resident of Globe, you can go into City Hall and put in and file a complaint and put that information on there.
Right.
That's the only way it's going to be heard.
You want that information to not only to say, I've seen this, what's the date? What's the time?
Exactly.
What's the address? You have to have specifics in order for it to work.
Oh, let me let me tell you, it's on social media. So there's
social media is garbage. We don't care about social media.
That's a problem. Social media is social media. Right. And that's what people do. They just get on social media and they say things without come in, let's sit down. Let's file a complaint if that's what you want, but I'm not going to answer people on social media.
No, it's garbage.
That isn't the place to air any.
I'm not saying to answer people on social media. What I'm saying is that it was posted on social media. They're doing that.
Yeah, but
on Facebook.
It doesn't matter that it's posted on social media because social media has no credibility, is what I'm telling you, and Facebook is maybe worst of all. None of that matters. Believe me, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. What does matter is if you, as an individual, have the facts. You know the date, you know the time, you know the location, and you know the offense. You can file on that, and that will be heard. But to say it was on Facebook, Facebook's not a source.
No.
You know, it doesn't matter.
No.
And you have to understand that. Anybody, you know, the old joke of two basset hounds sitting in front of a computer, one saying to the other, you know, on the internet, they don't know we're dogs. Mm-hmm. Well, that's absolutely true.
Yeah.
You don't. That's not substantiated.
No.
So don't weaken your own argument.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing.
And I understand that. But the person that did take the pictures, they do have the pictures. They do have the date and time.
Well, then they need to go into
City Hall and file that complaint.
Yes,
but not on social media. Not on social media.
It's definitely a conflict of interest.
Right. Then,
she's a realtor.
Yes.
She's abusing her power as a realtor, and she is, and that should be a shame.
Well, here's the deal. Have her file it so it can be looked at. You see, it won't be looked at on social media. If she's got pictures, that's evidence, and she's got dates, she's got times, have her file that.
Exactly. Yeah. Don't condemn people on social media, on Facebook.
Right.
It is. It's just so people on social media just... You know,
can
it,
be
it's
anyone
not a,
from anywhere. You can
exactly.
be a Martian.
If you hear some of the stuff on social media.
And another thing is, she sold Adele a house from her realtor, Stalling Duong, across from the Chinese food place, the restaurant. And then she kicked her out of there and then told her she couldn't get no running water and she wasn't going to work with her.
Well,
and that's
all right.
From
See,
a big issue.
Right. These are all major allegations. And the only way this works is with somebody who has facts to back it up. Not I saw, I thought, gee, somebody told me or whatever. Dates, times, evidence, and not social media. So if all you're saying is true and all these people have that evidence, they can file complaints, and they should, but don't weaken the argument.
Well, wait a minute.
They have filed official complaints.
Yes, the girl that has the house with the cross from the Chinese restaurant, yes, she did. She filed it. They went to court. She still kicked her out of the property. There's a big old litigation with that right now. But, you know, and I'm sure Algamera's, I don't know if you know about that or not, but your board members do, and it's been a problem, and she was the realtor that sold that house to her, and then six months later went after her.
I'm not going to agree with you on you got to be very careful in accusations and realtor and everything, and the house you're probably talking about is the house that burned. That was a burned structure that was totally destroyed on the interior. So I would get all the facts before you start saying anything about why she's going. There's a reason she's going to litigation, because that house is unsafe possibly, but that house was burned. I know what you're talking about.
You cannot put somebody in a house that's unsafe.
I don't know anything about selling.
Yeah, you're wanting answers that no one can give you in this forum. If you
and I understand that, but as a licensed realtor, then you should know better.
I'm not talking about realtor. I'm talking about the house and being unsafe, and that's all the comments I'm going to make on that. If you want to file other stuff and accuse people of certain things, go to the city, file a complaint. I'm not gonna agree with you on the other stuff that you're saying. Okay, that's all hearsay. And like I say, Facebook is just a gossip place that people go to.
But if you have, you said you have somebody with pictures, with dates, times, and all that.
Yes.
Please file it.
That's the end of the story.
Please file it. Don't cheapen your own argument.
Be a court enforcement either.
Yeah. Absolutely. So there you go. File it.
All right, I sure will. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks
for calling. Yeah, absolutely. If there's something like that that should be filed, file it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and like I say, it saddens me. I have no idea, nor do you, the veracity of any of this. But but assuming that there is some substantiation, it gets weakened when you say it's even on social media.
Yeah, exactly.
Or when you say, I know. No, none of this I know. Show the facts.
Exactly. And come forward and talk about it. You know, people on social media, they just put things out there that just to elevate the conversation
well,
and make it worse. It's horrendous. And even like this comment here about this house and not being able to live there, that was a structure that was burned.
Well, and yeah.
So there's more. That's why I say there's always more to a story,
right,
before that people don't really expose.
But one thing I would agree with, it's something that you know, you and the commission, the council and everybody else needs to look at, is that de facto conflict of interest when you have a license, you know.
And you know what? I'll do research and I'll come back with an answer with that.
Yeah. And it doesn't,
I appreciate that.
It doesn't matter if it's legal or not. Mm-hmm. It's how does it look and how do people feel?
Okay.
And that's something that, you know, you'll decide in your heart of hearts, but it should be. Now, we got a couple other calls and we don't have all that much time, but I want to get to them because we don't usually get calls. All right. So T is in Globe. Welcome to WGN Radio. It's another job I have. To KQSS.net. KQSS, yes, Globe, Miami. All right, hi, T. T. All right, we lost T. And she said, code enforcement officer, I have facts. All right, T, if you're listening, good. Take them
to the city.
And do it. Absolutely do it.
That's
Gina
it.
Is in Globe. Welcome to WGN. I'll do it again. I can't, well, of course, I do it every night, but no. Oh, KQSS, here you are, Gina.
How are you?
All right. So what's up?
So I own the house next to China Taste, right? And I wound up giving a letter to Algomero's and Paul Jepson on 9/20/23, right? And they wound up both ignoring that letter and letting the court system take its toll, right? And then on the on 9/11/24 is whenever I had the notice of claim served to the city, right? And that was with the request of records, right? So no joke, there's nobody that said that property is unstructurally sound, because the code enforcement officer is definitely not qualified to state that, right? She used to work at CVS before she was a real estate agent and a real estate broker, as a matter of fact. Then Tony Manfredi, he's a very qualified firefighter, a very unqualified building official, right? He did the whole, he's definitely not qualified to say a property is unsafe. That house was never insured, right, at the time, because the previous owners were never able to insure it because of the age or their finances, whatever the situation was. Either way, that house was never considered a total loss by any insurance company. There was nobody to say that house is unstructurally sound other than Michelle Yurkovich, right? And I have a whole binder of this documentation, and I would like to sit down and talk to somebody about it, but nobody wants to sit down with me, right?
Okay, and so first of all,
I'm getting 303 pages back in a public records request the same day that they dismissed my entire case that you guys had going for over 2 years with that house.
And
no
first of all, about ignoring it, no, we did not ignore it, but once an individual obtains an attorney
I didn't have an attorney at that point.
Okay, so once you then that goes to our city attorneys. We don't get in any type of litigation that requires attorneys. Now, I don't know much about the house, I don't know much about the house. I was a firefighter for 30 years too, and I know what devastation does with a fire does within the structure. Now, I would think that they would require you to do some kind of structural engineering on it to make sure that it is stable.
I have the engineering report. I'm not willing to sit down and get a permit with the city until they can correct the record of what Michelle has done improperly, because now there is records on the county record criminally attached to that house, even though they dismissed all the charges through that courthouse right there, right? And the main problem is that whenever you raise your right hand in that court right there that you guys have, you swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God. That doesn't fear you whenever you don't believe in God.
Okay.
So really, if you guys maybe gave her the threat of penalty of perjury, maybe she would go in there and tell the truth.
Okay, well, I'm not gonna argue on a radio station about your issue. I would tell you this should be done within the city, with our attorney. Talk to the attorney, talk to the building official. That's who I recommend you go to. I'm not gonna sit here and argue on a
unqualified building official? Because in reality, right, I have the structural review that says that that property is safe. They will not even allow me to get a water permit on that house, right? Just a simple water meter. They wouldn't even allow me on that house because they said that the pipes were compromised. The pipes ran underneath that house. The fire was in the attic. There was no plumbing in the attic. So how does that happen?
Okay. I can't talk to you about this issue because I don't know the facts.
About our
building inspector, he is a very well qualified building inspector. He wouldn't have got the job if he wasn't. Okay?
Through ICC or IBC?
I would imagine, yes. Yes, he is.
He's not.
ICBO.
I got the public records back.
Okay.
I demanded the public records and I got them all back through the Freedom of Information Act.
So what you are saying is the building inspector does not hold the credentials to be qualified as building inspector? Is that what you're claiming? Hello? Ooh. Hello, operator. I don't know. Somehow lost. Now, by the way, if that is accurate, then that's something that should be brought up. Now, I don't know. I have no idea who the building inspector is or what the deal is. Mm-hmm. But if it's a thing where the building inspector doesn't have those credentials, yeah, then that should be investigated. Yeah. You know,
well, he wouldn't have been given the job if he didn't have the credentials.
He needs to prove it, though. I mean, that should be provable to the public. If she's saying, hey, I have done the research and he's not, saying he wouldn't have gotten the job doesn't cut it either.
Yeah.
There's got to be some proof.
Yep.
So if there is proof, then her argument is specious. If there isn't proof, well, you know, I'm Switzerland here because I have no interest in any of this, you know. But the reality is what I can easily see is that the accusations are flying in all directions.
Yep.
And the response, though, things like he wouldn't have gotten the job, that's not an answer.
Mm-hmm.
An answer is, okay, he has this qualification, he got it on this date, he has that qualification, you know. In other words, deal with facts, and that's something that I hope is happening. But I would think if she has proof that this is an individual who doesn't have the standard qualifications, then she should bring it up. Absolutely.
Exactly. And not on the radio, not on Facebook.
Well, but also not, and she shouldn't be faced with, we wouldn't have hired him if he didn't have the qualifications.
Well, no, and maybe that was wrong comment, but
yeah,
yes.
That's not an answer.
He definitely has the background. I know, Tony. I know where he came from.
And so you're saying, hey, I know he has these certifications, and we can show you what they're from and on what date, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just on all this, what I'm hearing, like I say, is the accusations are flying, people are getting mad and all that. But regarding code enforcement, And I don't know anything about this either, but if you have a code enforcer who's also a licensed real estate agent, it's not, is that okay? It's, how does that look? How do people react? What does that mean for our community? And that's a decision that I don't make. You and the council or you and the city manager, whoever it is, I think it's worthy of review.
Sounds good.
Yeah, and so there will be. But in the meantime, yeah, you're saying that your door is open.
That's it.
And I'll hold out to that. If you say
it's always open, my number's out there. If you want to come in, we'll sit down and talk.
Yeah, and so very very disheartening the comments about social media because. Again, and people do believe this, and it's not just the city or the county or the political paradigm in the world or the country, but people see things online and just assume, well, that's accurate.
Exactly.
And
even in our country, you don't know what to believe anymore.
Well, right, and you know, we talk about that off the air in radio often in terms of, is there any such thing as a non-biased information source? And as far as the majors, that answer is no. The agendas might be different, but to say they're agendaless, no, we don't. The closest we have on television is News Nation.
Mm-hmm.
So in any event, yeah, people are on their last nerve, Al.
Yep.
You sure you want this job?
I'll tell you, you know, it is sometimes. But you know what? We can't let this, and I call it small negative or talk out there, or certain individuals, this group of individuals, we can't let them outshine the good things that are going on in our city and our community.
Because
there are a lot of good things. There's a lot of things being done, a lot of time put in by not only our council, but our staff, our city manager. And those are the things that should be out there shining, not these little pockets of negativity that's out there.
And I really do urge anybody who has called or is listening who does have facts, and I mean facts, not I saw it on social media, for God's sakes, bring this to light.
And
if you have all those facts and you're saying you didn't get an answer, mail them to me. I'll bring it up in the next meeting.
There you go.
And I wouldn't hesitate. But what I'm not hearing is the facts, and that's what we need. So okay. So assuming you live that long, the next meeting is August 11th.
August 11th. Okay.
Yeah, we'll see you at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
And thanks. Until then, yeah. So you guys who are now, of course, all the floodlights of calls, but the show is absolutely over. But get those cards and letters coming, so to speak. Facts. File with the city. You don't hear anything back. You send it to me. We discuss it. It's that simple.
Sounds good. Thank you. Monster Hit.